1 Corinthians 12 and beginning in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And you can be seated. All right, so we are launching into a section of 1 Corinthians that I think is going to be one of the more fascinating parts of the whole book of 1 Corinthians. It's this section on spiritual gifts. It spans three chapters from chapter 12 to chapter 14. I'd really encourage you, if you haven't recently, to go through and read that whole chapter or those three chapters in one sitting. Just try and get through the whole thing in one sitting to get a feel for the whole flow of what the Apostle Paul is trying to say. I have to tell you, I'm excited to work through this section. I think this section is going to challenge us in a lot of ways, in a lot of good ways. Maybe you understand this, maybe you don't, but all the singing that we just did about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus is coming into the world prior to that, of course. A lot of times we remove that from our actual day-to-day experience and day-to-day how we live our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus. And what we're going to find out here is actually those two things are intrinsically connected. Because when you came to faith in the Lord Jesus, you became a temple of who? The Holy Spirit inside of you. So the Holy Spirit, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Part of that dwelling inside of you is that the Holy Spirit has sovereignly given you spiritual gifts by which you serve and bless the church. That's what he's done. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in general this morning and more specifically as the weeks go on. But this is a good thing. This is a glorious thing that we have God in us, animating us, empowering us through gifts to serve the church. I'm excited by this because, to be honest, usually when we talk about spiritual gifts, a few things come to mind. First thing that comes to mind is, what in the world is he talking about? Spiritual gifts? Like, what? What is this? And we'll get to that. The second is, I don't know if this was your experience, maybe, or has been your experience, like, well, I really don't want to take one of those, like, spiritual gift surveys. They seem so cheesy and that sort of thing. I remember in high school, I'd take this, like, the little spiritual gift survey, and my gift is to stack chairs. Like, that's my spiritual gift. I don't know how it is that the Spirit empowers me to do that, because I feel like I could have done that prior to salvation. But they always seem cheesy. Maybe more to the point, probably in our kind of circles, is this third of, yeah, great, we're talking about spiritual gifts. That's what those crazy charismatic people do, and it's all weird, and can we just get through these three chapters quickly and on to something else? So I could be wrong, but I think that's probably how most people in our circles tend to view the spiritual gifts. So if that's you, and trust me, that was me for many, many years, talking about spiritual gifts, and especially speaking in tongues and prophecy and all this made me feel a little odd, that sort of thing. I just want to gently correct you over the next few weeks that our reaction to spiritual gifts should be praise God, that he's come to us, and he has supernaturally empowered us to serve the church. He doesn't just say, hey, believer, go do this thing. No, he goes, actually, I'm in you, and I'm working in you sovereignly and specifically in specific ways to build up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we should rejoice that the Spirit has given us the gifts that he has. We should also rejoice that he hasn't given us some of the gifts that he hasn't given us, and he's given those to someone else. and that that person can build up the body of Christ maybe in ways that we can't. So this is a good thing. The fact that God gives us spiritual gifts, ways in which we serve the church, is a very good thing, and we need to be reminded of these things. So this morning what I want to do is I want to do lay a little bit of groundwork about spiritual gifts as a whole, and we're only going to get through the first three verses, and I think that'll set the stage for what is to come. But again, I want to do some general study. Why do I want to do some general study? Well, we see in chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says something very interesting. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." I do not want you to be uninformed. Remember that a lot of the letter to the Corinthians is a sort of a Q&A. It's a question and answer thing where they've written him some sort of letter and he's writing back. And every time he says "now concerning," he's addressing a different topic in that original letter that they wrote him. You remember that? And so he's transitioning to sort of next question. And so it seems as though they had asked Paul about spiritual gifts. And as we'll notice over the course of these three chapters, it seems like maybe the questions really revolved around prophecy and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, because as we move through this section, especially into chapter 14, we see that those are the issues that Paul is really kind of touching on and trying to help people understand. But notice that he says in verse 1, he says, "I do not want you to be uninformed." Literally, in the original, he says he does not want them to be without knowledge. The word that we use for agnostic is the word that he uses there. Someone who is uninformed or maybe doesn't care. They just don't care about spiritual gifts. I know that for me, there was a time where I'm like, I just don't care. Like, I just need to go about my Christian life, doing my Christian thing and spiritual gifts. I know I don't speak in tongues, so I guess I don't have that one. And so on we go. I don't need to understand this. And Paul says, no, we should not be uninformed. Or put it a different way, we should be informed. We should have a rock solid foundation about how God the Holy Spirit uses spiritual gifts in the church, because this relates to every single one of us and how we work and we bless the church and we serve and we minister to one another in the church. And so we need to be informed. Imagine that we were building a house together, that someone invited us all to a plot of land and so said, "Hey, meet there Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Don't bring anything, just show up." And we get to this plot of land and there's this like stack of gifts there, right? There's presents all wrapped up, and we walk over and we see, oh, this one. Well, this is a table saw. It says, "To Steve from the Holy Spirit." And so I guess you're using the table saw. And someone else gets a drill. And someone else gets a stepladder. And then somebody gets like five gifts. They get like a drill and a level and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then someone gets a framing hammer. Someone gets just a finishing hammer. That's all they get. And then someone gets like nine other things, right? But they all say from who? From the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has sovereignly determined which person gets which gift or gifts. Some will have more, some will have less. Some will have a similar type of gift, but not the same type of gift. And we see that throughout this section. And what we learn in building a house is that in order to build that house effectively, we'd need to take turns, and we need to share, and we'd need to work together all to build up this house. Well, that's actually what we find out with spiritual gifts. Right, is that God has not gifted every single person with every single gift. We need to take turns, and we need to share, and we need to all contribute to build up the household of God together. And that's what God has done through the Holy Spirit in giving us spiritual gifts. We read through verses 4 through 11, but I just want to look through again. This is not an exhaustive list of all the spiritual gifts that are available. I think this is just a little smattering. And really, Paul's point here is that the person who gives the gifts is the same Spirit. So you're gifted in a particular way, I'm gifted in a particular way, you're gifted in a particular way, and we're all gifted by the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit that empowers all of them, no matter how great or how little or how many gifts you have. It's all the Spirit. So take a look down in verse 7. He says, to each person, to each believer, is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. First of all, this is why we have spiritual gifts, is for the common good. It's not for you. It's not so, you know, it's like, I think I probably have the gift of teaching. Like, it'd be really weird if I just went into an empty room and taught myself. Like, that's kind of odd. Like, the spiritual gifts are for one another. The reason Spirit gifts us is for the common good, to invest in one another. So verse 7, they're for the common good. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. You ever know people who, they just have like this massive amount of faith, they just trust God? We probably think they're crazy, right? Like, really? Like, I'd like a backup plan, thank you very much. Like, you call it faith, I call it crazy. Actually, well, it might be crazy, let's be honest. But to some extent, like, it's just faith. Like, the Holy Spirit has given a massive helping of faith to some people. Gives to faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. As he wills. So what we have to understand is that all of these are from the Spirit. That's why we call them spiritual gifts. We don't call them spiritual gifts because they're mystic or kind of weird and woo-woo and out there. Like, we call them spiritual gifts because they come from the Holy Spirit. That is specifically the one person of the Trinity who apportions these gifts. And we see that in verse 11, that he gives them as he wills. This is up to the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit who gets what gifts. And we see that again down in verse 18, where he says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. As he chose. So wherever you're at in the body, whatever gifts you have, however you're called to serve the body of Christ, you're there because the Holy Spirit gave you that gift as he chose. It's up to him. So this isn't weird or mystic. This is all from the Holy Spirit. I want to show you a couple of things. We're going to flip around a little bit. You can keep a bookmark here if you want. But turn back to Romans 12 for just a minute. So just one book to the left. Romans 12. We have another list back here. And this is an important section as well. We'll see some overlap in the content when the biblical authors talk about spiritual gifts. And there are a couple of gifts mentioned here that are not mentioned in 1 Corinthians, which is why I said the list in 1 Corinthians is not exhaustive. It's not all the gifts that are available. But here we have in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, we have another list of spiritual gifts. So Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So, a couple of observations here. First of all of these gifts are gifts of grace. That is, we didn't earn them. We didn't earn the spiritual gift that we had. I'm not up here preaching because somehow I'm more worthy than you know, you little people. No, quite the opposite. God's like, I'm just going to pour out mercy and grace on him, and I'm going to show my mercy and grace in this sinner. God gave me this role, the role that you have. God gave you that role. He specifically assigned it, not because of how great you are or how not great you are, but simply because of grace. Because he apportioned to you what he wanted to apportion apportioned to you. So maybe you're doing well in life. Maybe you're well off and you give away a lot of money. Awesome. God has given you the heart of generosity. He's given you that gift of generosity. Maybe you have the gift of leading and you lead people. You know what we need in the church? We need leaders in the church. Praise God that He has given you the gift of leadership. Maybe you're merciful. Maybe you see somebody in need and your heart just, you know, it's like the Grinch. It like just swells up three sizes and you're just like, I got to help them and I got to do, like, that's the gift of mercy. And God has given that to you. It's not because of you. It's because of God, the Holy Spirit has given you a gift of grace. Something we need to understand is that no one has all the gifts. Maybe we have multiple gifts. Maybe we really only have one gift that we understand. But no one has all of the gifts. There might be people who have multiple gifts. Maybe you're a merciful teacher, right? You show mercy, but you also like to teach the Word of God. Maybe you like to serve. Maybe you have the gift of service, but you also like to encourage people in small ways. And so you have multiple gifts. Maybe you've got the gift of administration, but you also like to exhort people and encourage people. Back to our analogy earlier, maybe your pile of presents is three or four presents of gifts that the Spirit has given you. Maybe you got one, and it's in a small box. You know what? Use that gift to the glory of God. One way we can begin to ask, sort of like, what gifts has the Spirit given us is just simply to say, well, how is it that I like to serve the church? How is it that I like to serve the body of Christ? Not just serving in general in life, though maybe that's part of it, but how do I like to encourage people in the Lord? How do I like to invest in them? And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 for a minute, a few books to the right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we see an important component to this whole discussion of spiritual gifts, and that's this, that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He gives it to us sovereignly, and He gives it to us graciously, but we also have an obligation to grow in these gifts. We need to get better and better in these gifts. So take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. The Apostle Paul, talking to his disciple Timothy, he says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. But check out verse 15. Practice these things, immerse yourselves in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourselves and your hearers. It was kind of interesting. It appears that during the time of the apostles, they had the ability to lay hands on someone and somehow maybe bestow spiritual gifts. It seems like that was what was going on here. The council of elders, along with Paul, laid their hands on Timothy, bestowed on him the gift of, looks like, prophecy and teaching, that sort of thing. I think that was probably an apostolic ability we don't have anymore. But the thing that I want us to notice here is that Timothy is called to grow in this gift. He's called to get better. Just because the Spirit gave it to him, and just because the Spirit is empowering him, doesn't mean he just sit back and go, well, this is what I got. No, there's this expectation to grow. There's this expectation to get better at the gifts that we've been given. Again, to go back to the tool analogy, you can have somebody who has a skill saw, and they'll just about cut their foot off every time they touch it, but you would hope that over time, maybe they would get really skilled with that skill saw. Same thing with a table saw. Same thing with a framing hammer. Have you ever watched somebody new at framing try and hit a nail? I mean, I've got a nail about to come off because I missed, and it hurts. I'm not a framer. We have to grow in the gifts that we have. That's what Paul is calling us to do. He doesn't want Timothy to become stagnant. He doesn't want us to become stagnant. If you have the gift of mercy, you know what people should notice over time? Is that you're becoming more merciful. If you have the gift of administration, you know what people should notice over time? Wow, the administration that you're helping in loving on the body of Christ. Wow, that's pretty noticeable. Same thing with mercy. Same thing with teaching. Same thing with comfort. So the Holy Spirit has given us these gifts, but he expects us to grow in these gifts and mature in these gifts as well. And hopefully you guys see that growth. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, a few books to the right. I think this is a helpful section because Peter gives us a little bit of a way to classify spiritual gifts. There can be all kinds of different ways to classify them. But I think here we see Peter sort of categorizing gifts, again, as we're drilling down just a little bit this morning on what is my gift? How has the Holy Spirit gifted me to serve in the church? And Peter gives us sort of two classifications to understand them. One is a gift of speech, and one is a gift of service. So those are very generic umbrellas, but gifts of speech and gifts of service. So take a look, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Peter says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So we are called to love one another. We're called to show mercy, to be hospitable. We're called to all of these different things. And the expression of that is through these spiritual gifts that God has given us. So God has given us specific gifts. And by the way, just because you don't have a certain gift doesn't mean you can't do things in relation to that gift. Okay? So maybe you don't have the gift of teaching. You should still be teaching your children about the Word of God. You should still be teaching your coworkers about the Word of God, right? We're not off the hook just because, like, well, I don't have that gift. I'm not merciful, so I'm going to go be a jerk to everybody. Like, doesn't work like that. Like, you're still called to be merciful, okay? You're still called to be kind and to serve and to be generous, that sort of thing, right? But I think you get the point. Like, where God has specifically gifted you, you should grow. But here we see there's sort of two classifications. There's speaking gifts. So this would be like teaching and exhortation and wisdom and speaking in tongues and prophecy. And then there's serving gifts of like administration and generosity and mercy, service, those kind of things. So those are just basic umbrella classifications that you can kind of think, well, do I like speaking? Maybe I have the gift of evangelism. Maybe you're an evangelist and you tell people about the gospel. Or maybe you just like serving people. Hey, this person needs yard work. I'll go help them, you know, do some yard work or whatever the case might be. So again, those are two generic classifications. Okay, let's look back in 1 Corinthians. So we have these gifts. We should be growing in these gifts. We should be using these gifts on a regular basis. And really, we should. You ever got a birthday gift that was like nice, but you just didn't use? You know, just like stayed in the closet. And maybe you even thought about regifting it, but you didn't want the person who gave it to you to know that you regifted it, and that'd be all weird and that sort of thing. Do you understand when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, he actually wants you to use it. He expects you to use it. He gave it to you on purpose. Maybe you don't like that gift. Maybe you wish you had some other gift or a better gift or whatever. But the Holy Spirit has given you a particular gift on purpose. And he wants you to use it. He doesn't want you to just shove it in the closet and do nothing with it. He wants you to actually use it and grow in it. And that's what I hope we see. Okay, one thing that I want to talk about before we finish up this little section this morning is classifications. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, you've probably heard a lot of different words describing people or their view on spiritual gifts. I think it's going to be helpful for us to just unpack just a little bit as we talk about spiritual gifts. So you've probably heard words like charismatic or Pentecostal or cessationist or continuist. Those words are all sort of shorthand to help describe what someone believes about spiritual gifts. It's like in eschatology. Someone will say, oh, I'm pre-trib, or I'm post-trib, or I'm amill, or post-mill, or whatever. It's just a general classification. It doesn't get down to all the particulars, but it's just a general classification to help understand where some people are at. The same is true with spiritual gifts. With spiritual gifts, there are all kinds of gifts that the Holy Spirit has given to us. So there's healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, teaching, exorcism, casting out demons. Paul mentions miracles, mercy service. There's a whole bunch. When people attach a label to themselves, again, it's not an exhaustive label, but what they're trying to help us understand is whether or not they believe certain gifts continue on to this day. Okay, so there's some discussion over whether or not the Holy Spirit still passes out all of these gifts, or whether maybe some of them no longer are passed out today. So here's the ones that are usually up for discussion. Okay, when we're talking about which ones are continuing on to today or which ones have maybe stopped today, here's some that are up for discussion. We'll unpack what these mean a little bit more. So the first two are speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. So speaking in tongues is the supernatural ability to speak in a foreign language that you've never learned. And that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about that is even that definition is up for debate. So that's the best that I understand that we see described in Acts chapter 2. Again, we'll unpack that a little bit later. So they're speaking in tongues, and then the converse of that is interpretation of tongues. It's a supernatural ability to understand a foreign language and then interpret it to someone else in their native tongue. There's prophecy. Does prophecy continue on to this day? Prophecy is a huge umbrella of a lot of different things. It could be as simple as playing music. It could be something as simple as telling someone about Jesus. It could be getting a word from the Lord. It could be telling the future. There's a whole bunch of things that fall under the umbrella of prophecy. But usually this discussion revolves around whether or not God directly communicates with us now. So that's up for discussion in this whole thing. There's healing. Can someone supernaturally heal another person by the work of the Holy Spirit today? There's words of knowledge or wisdom. We don't even have an explanation as to what those gifts are that he mentions there in verses 4 through 11. But do those still exist today? What about exorcism? Casting out demons. We saw Jesus do that over and over and over and over throughout his ministry. We saw the apostles do that over and over and over. Does that still exist today, where we can have control over demonic activity? All of those gifts, or some of those gifts, are usually what we're talking about when we are labeling ourselves or trying to describe someone, or someone else labels themselves. So there's a whole lot of different labels. I'm going to break it down into four, and it's kind of on a spectrum, okay? So if you're taking notes, it'll start at cessationism. And then it's continuous, and then charismatic, and then Pentecostal. Okay, so this is sort of a spectrum of what's going on. We'll do the first far ends, and then we'll do the middle. So a cessationist is someone who generally believes, and again, I say generally. If you hear somebody say, oh, I'm a cessationist, you should probably just ask them, well, what do you mean by that? Because, again, everybody's going to have a different take. These are generalizations, you guys, okay? So please understand that. So a cessationist is someone who believes generally that these gifts, the supernatural, the very miraculous ones that I just mentioned, for the most part have ceased. That's where we get that word. Cessation comes from the word ceased. So they would say there's no more speaking in tongues. There's no more God speaking through prophecy. There's no more exorcism, that sort of thing. They believe that the Holy Spirit could give these out, but that he doesn't for whatever reason. He hypothetically could. So cessationists are on this end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, we'll say, are Pentecostals. And even when I use that word, there's a wide variety of the wide spectrum of Pentecostals. But they would say that the Holy Spirit still gives out all the gifts. And we should experience all of these gifts in our church, and especially on Sunday morning. We should see them, we should experience them, we should encourage them. Most, Yeah, I'm just going to say that. Most think, I think in the Pentecostal church would say that a manifestation that you are a believer is that you will speak in tongues. That's part and parcel of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit is that you will speak in tongues. Some believe that being slain in the Spirit is a common practice that believers will experience. So this is where they would say that the Holy Spirit overtakes you and you kind of fall down and you're filled with joy and you kind of shake, that sort of thing. They'd say, oh, it's a wonderful gift of God. I would say I don't think that's from the Spirit at all. But we have people who would say that that is, in fact, from the Holy Spirit. The term Pentecostalism comes from the word Pentecost, the day of Pentecost. That's when we first see the Holy Spirit come upon the believers in Acts chapter 2. You remember they had tongues of fire on their head, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're prophesying, and it's just this amazing thing. That's where they get that language. That's where they get that label. As they would say, yeah, we're still in the age of Pentecost, is what they would say. This is still going on, and we should still expect it the whole other time. So we got cessationism on one side, we got Pentecostalism on the other. So moving from cessationism over just a little bit is what we would call the continuist position. And a continuous simply means that the Holy Spirit still continues to give these gifts. They would probably acknowledge that it's not as much as what we see in the early church. That in the early church, it seems like it was much more common, but here it's not as much. And that I would say that of my friends, my pastor friends who hold to a continuist view, you would probably walk into their church and you would probably not notice any difference between their church and our church in terms of functionality or what goes on. They would say that that's out there. They would say that the Holy Spirit works out there, but probably not as much. Next term over is charismatic. Charismatic usually refers to someone who believes that the gifts still operate and that we should expect at least some of them to be used in our worship services on a regular basis. We should expect speaking in tongues. We should expect prophecy. We should expect healings. Now, just a little side note on that. I think the word charismatic is a really unfortunate term. It's a really unfortunate term because technically speaking, the word charismatic just simply means gift. That's all it means. So look down in verse 4 of chapter 12. Paul says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And when he says gifts, what he says is charisma. There are a variety of charisma. There are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of charismatics. Do you know if you have the gift of mercy, you're a charismatic? Did that just make you feel a little uncomfortable? If you have the gift of ministration, you're a charismatic. If you have the gift of teaching, you're a charismatic. Why? Because it's just a gift. That's all the word means. So the label is what the label is. In modern parlance, though, a charismatic is someone who believes the more miraculous gifts are going to be happening usually whenever the church gathers together. Again, this is a generalization. Now, I'll just tip my hand. If you've got cessationist, continuous, charismatic, and Pentecostal, I'm actually like 1.5. I'm somewhere in there. Because I don't see in the scripture where it says the Holy Spirit is no longer giving gifts, even these gifts. And I've heard enough people, credible people, tell me that they've seen these legitimate gifts manifest that I can't just go, yeah, we're tossing that out the window. At the same time, I think it's pretty clear that we don't see going on today the same kind of stuff that was going on in Acts chapter 2 and all throughout the book of Acts and here even in 1 Corinthians. So I think the common label that I would take is open but cautious. Right? I'm continuous but cautious. Could these happen? Sure. But if we were to see them, we would want to investigate and determine, hey, is this the biblical pattern? And if they happen, you know what we should do? Praise Jesus that this is going on because the Spirit is at work. Right? So it's open, but it's cautious. We want to be discerning, but we want to leave some room for the Holy Spirit to work. Now, look at verse 3 for just a minute because I think this is important. Paul says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, or literally anathema Jesus. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, why is that in there? Well, because we need to understand that the Holy Spirit and these gifts that we have will always lead us closer to Jesus. And as we minister to one another, these gifts will always lead other people closer to Jesus. That will always be the case. We'll never lead people away from Jesus where we'd say, well, Jesus is accursed. Well, I can tell you what, like that's not in the Holy Spirit you're saying that. The Holy Spirit would never prompt someone to say, Jesus is accursed. Just the opposite. The Spirit always leads people to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus, the sovereignty of Jesus, our obedience to Jesus. The Spirit's ministry in this age is to work in the people of God to praise the Son of God. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's always going to bring us into more and more understanding of the lordship of Jesus. And this is how he used these gifts. It seems as though maybe the manifestation of these gifts, or the false manifestation of these gifts in the church at Corinth, was so crazy that there were maybe people either saying Jesus is accursed in the frenzy of it all, or it could be that people were speaking in tongues and the non-tongue speakers were worried that what they were in fact saying is that Jesus is accursed. And what Paul is putting to rest here is that anybody who is genuinely filled with the Spirit would ever say that Jesus is anathema. Never, ever going to say that. The Spirit will always lead people to with one voice say, no, Jesus is our Lord. But these gifts always encourage each other closer to Jesus. So again, do you have a heart for people when they're down, when they're struggling, and they need encouragement? If you have the gift of mercy and you pour out mercy on them, you know what that does in their life? It brings them toward Jesus. It really does. If you have a heart to teach people about the Word of God and help them grow in their understanding of the Word, you know what that does? That brings them toward Jesus. If someone were to stand up in our congregation and start speaking in a foreign language over here, and someone else stood up in our congregation and said, oh my goodness, like, that's Chinese, and I understand that, and here's the message, and we'd be like, whoa, like, the Spirit is among us. That's what he describes in chapter 14, you guys. And it makes us all uncomfortable, like, please, nobody stand up. All right? That was happening. You know what we would do? It would bring us closer to Jesus. That's what it would do. All of these gifts here bring us closer and closer to Jesus. If you like to serve people or give to people, God has used all of these gifts and arranged all of us, you guys, to serve one another and bring us closer to the lordship of Jesus. So as we study this section, my hope is not that you're nervous, although maybe you are a little bit. My hope is that you praise the Lord for these amazing spiritual gifts that he's bestowed on his church, that we would use them together to build one another up for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Spirit, for the gifts that you have given to us. And we pray that we would use them well, that we with one voice would say, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.